Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, this is another club update discussing the transfer window, this time all things Tottenham Hotspur with Steve McGookin, former president of New York Spurs, and he has an election show over on By the Minute, which you can find on iTunes. Also, the man that got me into Tottenham Hotspur. Steve, very pleased to have you back on.
Oh, it's great to have to be here with you, Kevin. And yeah, I will forever hold that as a mark of pride to bring you into the Spurs family.
Awesome.
Even though you might not always thank me for it.
Well, at this particular moment, I will thank you for it. But let's jump into what was a very interesting transfer window for Tottenham. Lots of intrigue. Our director of recruiting leaves midway through the window. Well, on paper, he technically was still in the building, but the signings we made, not indicative of his style. We go in with a crazy late bid for Sissoko, but we'll get into that for a minute. I guess we could go through kind of chronologically. The first one, very easy one to get done. Wanyama had been flirting with us for over a year. I would have liked Witsel, who we had also been talking about, but Wanyama comes into the club, one of the most stable defensive midfielders in the league over the last few years. What did you make of this one?
Absolutely. I think that was a great signing, actually, and the way he has come into the first team in the absence of Musa. Obviously, Musa has to serve out this ridiculous six-game ban, so we're kind of mixing and matching a little bit at the moment. And it's sort of shown that we haven't really clicked, I think, in the first three games. And I think I remember talking to you after the Palace game, and I remember saying, if that game had finished goalless, I think there would have been an awful lot of sort of grumbling among the Spurs faithful. Mm. But Wanyama pulled that one out for us. I think his partnership with Dier has been pretty good so far, but again, it doesn't really give us that creativity, especially when Eriksen's not firing as he hasn't been for the last couple of games. But on the whole, I'm very happy with the Wanyama signing. And actually, I was talking to a Celtic friend of mine today who had great things to say about Wanyama's leadership and how he grows into the role. So I think that'll definitely be a plus for us down the road.
Yeah, I'd agree there. Vincent Janssen, we should have gotten Batshuayi if we just had 30 million to spend on Sissoko sitting around. But I obviously love the Vincent Janssen thing with the whole Dutch connection. It looks like he's done very well thus far, aside from scoring the goals. The Soldado comparisons are hateful and early. But what have you made of Janssen thus far?
I know. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed with the Soldado comparisons. I like Janssen. You're going to find that I like all the signings so far. I have a couple of misgivings about one or two of the arrangements, but Janssen, I think, will come good. And the interesting thing is going to be whether he gets a chance to play as a lone striker or will he play exclusively with Harry and play off Harry. And obviously, we're trying to cover our bases for any possibility of injuries and suspensions and that sort of thing. But I think there are going to be enough games. I mean, Gillingham, for example, you could probably play Janssen on his own as a lone striker up front. Again, it's going to be a test to see whether somebody who scores for fun in the Eredivisie can make that transition. And the jury's going to be out for a little while. But I like his effort. I love the fact that he's all over the pitch and he and Harry seem to be playing off each other pretty well on the couple of occasions when they work together. So I like his energy. I like his vision, and we'll see how he does on the actual finishing.
Yeah, I think the most unnecessary but solid attribute he has is he has a pretty decent challenge on him. in that Liverpool match. He was shouldering people off the ball.
Yeah, he actually reminded me of a regular sized Jose Dominguez.
Yeah.
Although that's probably a terrible thing to say. But also, the good thing is, wasn't there the Liverpool game where – oh, no, was it the Palace game where he got the shot away in the six-yard box? At least he got into those positions.
Mm.
You know, was
it might have been Everton, the one where Stecklenburg got down very quickly and he thought he'd scored it.
Yeah, you're right. It was the Everton game. And I was saying on another podcast recently that I thought – the way we played in the second half of that Everton game after we put the goal down and we came back and we were able to reorganize and keep pressing and actually that was the way I want to see us play in every game from now on. But again, we didn't really click in the Palace game. That was a frustrating game. The longer it went on, the longer it looked like it was going to finish goalless. And then the Liverpool game, where I think at the end of the day, a draw was probably a fair result, but you know that could have slipped away very, very easily from us.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. The next up, Georges Kevin Nkoudou. In case people are wondering, we did actually sign him, although it feels like we may have done so 8 or 9 times throughout the window, with Spurs even poking fun at it with the official announcement. Very pacey, can play both sides, can play as a traditional winger or a modern winger where he cuts in on either side. I think that flexibility is really what drew us to him. The people that saying, well, why did we give up on NG? Very, very different players, aside from the easy, they're small, fast Frenchmen. But I feel like ever since we got rid of Townsend, we've needed somebody as a substitute option with pace. What did you make of this one?
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And I think also you could probably throw Yedlin into that mix too, because we were giving up on pace there, although he probably wasn't as polished or as finished a player as either Nagy or Nkoudou. Obviously, Nkoudou, the king of Spurs social media already, and if he's half as good on the pitch as he is on Twitter, then I think we've got a good one. Again, it's going to depend on how many opportunities he gets to start. He certainly makes the squad stronger, but we'll see how he fits into to a starting lineup with some of the peripheral games, perhaps.
Yeah, I think he's going to be used mostly as depth for both the left and the right wing situations. The only problem I have with the way our squad looks right now, and we'll get to it in a second with the outs, is that while we have depth at every position, a lot of it is depth with players that are needed at other positions. So like Moussa Sissoko is probably the second best right winger at the club behind Lamela, who's more of, you know, a right attacking midfielder than a true winger. But he's also probably the second best central midfielder. So in a second 11, if we do that in the Champions League, he can't play both places. But Nkoudou does add depth at both wings. The most controversial of Spurs incomings, 30 million, club record fee, depending on what you think we ended up paying for Lamela, any number from 26 to 30 with him, Moussa Sissoko.
Yep.
It's never fun when you sign a player and the team he's leaving rejoice publicly
right.
that you're taking their player for what is an inordinate amount of money. 30 million for Sissoko, fully understandable if all you watched was the 5-1 against us to end the season and the Euros, which is possible. This is, again, I don't know where to go with this one. Technically, we are stronger for having him, considering all of our outgoings. And I saw many people saying, well, Sissoko is better than Mason, so it's a good move. But I would much rather have Mason in 30 million than Sissoko at this point. What have you made of it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, also, don't forget, and we can come on to talk about the exit door. It was Mason, Bentaleb, and Shadley all left. So what I was a little concerned about was that we were depleting the depth of the squad. And certainly Sissoko, I think what the Newcastle fans were rejoicing about more was the price rather than the fact that, you know, here's a very unpredictable player. Maybe, you know, we as in Newcastle haven't been able to get the best out of him. You have to trust Pochettino and especially Hugo Lloris in this instance that they can actually motivate this player to get what we know he's capable of. And I think that's what it's going to come down to is we know what the guy can do. The guy's a very good player in the middle of the park or out wide or whatever. And we saw in the Euros that a little bit of confidence, if he's playing with some good players around him, can bring him up a level. And so I had misgivings about the price until you factor in what Newcastle owes for Townsend, what they owes for Yedlin, and the fact that we seem to be, I don't know that obviously the actual ins and outs of it, but we seem to be paying it on an installment plan. So there is a possibility they could turn out to be a one-season rental for the Champions League. And we would be actually in a pretty good position after that, even if he chooses to go, because it's such an unlevy move, really, isn't it, to give a five-year contract to a 27-year-old, especially one that's not a worldie, not a game changer, not somebody who's going to walk straight into your first 11 and make it instantly better. Sissoko makes the squad better, and that's what we, I think, were in desperate need of in this particular window. Because the way it started to look with Mason going, Bentaleb going, Chadli going, there was the sense that, you know, we've got the Champions League coming up, and you can't compete in the Champions League with kids. As good as the kids are, and as much confidence as I think Pochettino has in them, Carter Vickers, for example, I think, but that's, you know, positionally, we'll come on to talk about that in a second. There are a couple of the young players, Harry Winks is another, who are on the verge of actually breaking through into the first team. But that's not the sort of depth that really I think we need for the kind of campaign and the number of games we're going to have coming up. So generally speaking, my jaw dropped when I heard that we had matched Everton's bid for Sissoko. But then gradually I came around on it, and I think given the axis of Pochettino and Lloris working with him, and actually the rest of the team, because he's coming into a team that has an established set of really top class players, and that's, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit before we went on the air. It's like nobody's really going to walk into our first 11 instantly and improve it. I mean, of all the players that were linked with us, probably Isco was probably the only one that you could foresee walking straight into the starting 11. But what Sissoko gives us is another dimension and depth, and I think that's exactly what we needed. The money, you know, you just have to bite your lip and do it. But again, the problem was he was available for that money earlier in the window, and if we were that committed to getting him, you know, that we offered them a derisory number, what they considered to be a derisory number, and it didn't happen. And then, you know, we started to look around. But generally speaking, the day after the window closed, I'd come around on Sissoko, and I sort of thinking that we are stronger as a squad today than we were yesterday.
Yeah, I do think that the Hugo point can't be stated enough, because while players very rarely publicly speak negatively of teammates either on the national team or their club teams, this is the same Hugo Lloris that was asked when he was captain for France if Ribéry and Nasri should be let back into the France squad, and he said no. So this is not a player that is shy with his honesty when it comes to players like that. And so I do agree. Tottenham are 100% confident that we can get the best out of Sissoko.
Yeah.
Whether it actually happens or not, I do think is a big question. But, you know, we had similar motivation questions about Dembele for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then he came out and was phenomenal for us last season.
Yes.
So if we can get that kind of return, Sissoko can be a good player for us. I do not think he can ever match the $30 million we paid for him. I don't think there's a thing he could do at this club to equate that monetary value that could have been spent elsewhere. But
yeah,
he's at the club. Hopefully he does well. We'll back him now. Yep. He needs to burn that Arsenal kit he had or score against them. Either of those really would do the trick.
I wish him well, and I'm optimistic that he'll come good. And as you say, Hugo is very important to how he settles in and how he develops and how he plays. And to be honest with you, especially if we get back into the Champions League again next season, I don't think he's going to be our records signing for too long.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Another big question, where will he fit in this Spurs squad? Do you think he's more of a central midfielder for us in the Dembele mold? Do you think we'll see him on the right, or is the point of him the flexibility?
I think the latter. I think it's absolutely the flexibility that it gives you to move around, but I think it's also going to depend on who we're playing. And as I say, we had a very settled first 11 last year, but I think we have to ration out appearances this season and be more pragmatic about when we play with two strikers, when we play with a diamond or an attacking midfield formation or whatever. And of course, you know, he gives us that incredible cover when in case of injury or like the Dembele situation, a lengthy suspension, which obviously we don't want to pick up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On to the outs. Nasser Chadli for $13 million. Some people were lumping him in with the other failures of the Baldini 7, which I think is too harsh, especially considering that 10-goal season he had for us. And he is a player that most people will not see his contributions if they're only ever looking at the ball. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Chadli departing the club?
I always liked Chadli. He scored some spectacular goals. I just don't think he got enough of a run of games, consecutive run of games. I think going to West Brom is a good move for him. I think in a way they're kind of insulating themselves against Chris Brunt not coming back to the level that he was. Obviously, you know, very sad Chris Brunt missed the Euros for Northern Ireland, but I think Chadley's a very, very good replacement for him in terms of the way they play. He scores some spectacular goals. If he's allowed to run with the ball, you never know what he's going to do. But it's always the issue, really, isn't it, where you get players who need to be playing every week. And if they're not playing every week, their functionality or their utility value declines. And so I'm happy for him. I hope he gets a good run of games at West Brom. Him and McLean, you know, could play on either wing and create some problems for the opposition that way. So yeah, $13 million, I think perfectly reasonable. What we paid $7 million for him,
yeah,
didn't we?
Almost nine? Doubled it. Yeah.
From 20, and we signed him because he scored a spectacular goal against us. So let's hope that that doesn't happen for the rest of the season. But no, good luck to Nasser. Sorry to see him go.
Yeah, I was a little bummed he came out today and said that his time at Tottenham was frustrating. Isn't actually surprising because he wasn't getting loads of minutes. Just I don't know. Would have liked for him to have gone with fonder thoughts of us.
Well, yeah, but I guess he's sending a message to the West Brom
I'm playing.
Community that basically he wants to play. He wants to play every game. Yeah.
The one concern with telling Pulis that you want to play every game is you might end up at left back. But we'll see.
Well, actually, you know, that's what eventually happened to Chris Brunt. I mean, he filled in at that spot and mm-hmm. and did a great job for them. So
Johnny Evans also played at left back for them. It's an interesting rotation they've chosen there with no natural left backs playing that position.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's a good move. A good move on both sides. We got a good price, and he got a good team to go to.
Yeah, and West Brom get an actually attacking player. So,
yeah.
Now on to Ryan Mason, another outgoing, another academy product that we've sold for big money. $13 million, as reported from the Hull side. I originally heard 8 from our side, but then they announced it was their record signing, which means it has to be $13 million or more. Yeah. That's a lot of money for him, especially considering we got 8 from them for Livermore, 6-8 for Huddleston. Now that if they played a 4-3-3, they could do it with 3 former Spurs midfielders. I was personally sad to see him go, yes, just as he was another youth guy. He had been with the club since he was, you know, a very young man. Really just a boy. Disappointed to see him go. I think he would have had a role to play. Sissoko is better of the two. How do you think he'll fare at Watford?
At Hull, you mean?
I sure do mean Hull.
No, I'm very, very sad to see him go. I loved his commitment, loved his heart. And, he turned the season for us basically last year when he scored that incredible goal at Sunderland in the last sort of 3 or 4
minutes. That was a beautiful move, yeah.
And got injured as a result of it, and then really, you know, in a way hasn't been the same since. Can't fault him for commitment, you know, committed to the cause, which is exactly what you ask of any player that puts on the white shirt. I'm again, like Chadley, I'm glad he's going to get playing every week. Obviously, he wants to keep the minutes, keep his minutes on the field going. And I think that was going to be harder for him to do here with Spurs at the top level. He wouldn't be our first choice in a Champions League game unless there was really, it was like a dead rubber or there wasn't anything at stake at the end of it. But good player, always loved his commitment and his heart. So sad to see him go. But again, like Chadley, a very good price. We got a very good price for him. And Hull are fast turning into everybody's, all Spurs fans, sort of second favorite team. those of us who were very sad to see Huddleston go, and obviously anywhere Michael Dawson goes, you want him to have success. So good luck to Hull, and especially given their current problems with the with their managerial situation and the fact that they don't have a huge squad depth at the moment. So good luck to them.
Yeah. The thing that frustrates me most about that Dawson leaving is that it was 9 years in and we had already scheduled his testimonial. And then anyway, that was a weirdly sad thing. Alex Pritchard, another kid from the youth, was supposed to be the bright and or shining, or you could combine them. Who knows? He was very salty. He was supposed to be the future of our attacking midfield position. Been on loan for a couple years. I think the West Brom move really stagnated him a bit. And kind of like what happened with Tom Carroll, where Mason and Bentaleb both leapfrogged him, I think Josh Onuma, clearly the better future player out of the two of them. I'm not sure there's that much to say on Pritchard. He was supposed to break through, last year, didn't. Maybe next year, but now we have Onuma who's run through the ranks. You think he'll be missed too significantly?
Oh, undoubtedly a very talented player. And like Carroll, if he gets a little bit of time on the ball, he can do some special things. Again, it comes back down to everyone on your squad should be replaceable. If you can identify an upgrade and you can actually move somebody in to push the overall performance of the squad up, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. As much as you get attached to players, especially who come through the youth ranks and you want to see them do well and perform at the highest level. But I think you're right. I think what you said about Pritchard and about Tom Carroll as well is that you get to the point where there are only so many seasons where they can make an exponential jump from one season's performance to the next. Probably for Alex, that had come to the end.
Yeah, and then lastly, you did mention him already. Right back, also maybe just the track star, DeAndre Yedlin. Did he ever play for us? I don't think he did. I honestly don't think he ever played in a Tottenham shirt in a competitive match. That out of the way.
That's a really interesting question. I'm racking my brain now to think if he came on as a sub at any point. And he certainly, he played most of the season at Sunderland when he went to Sunderland on loan.
Well, he's much better than Billy Jones.
Right. Right. Again, as you say, great athlete, and good luck to him if he can get more games, if he can play every day. You know, quite frankly, talking of Sunderland, if we could have had Jermaine Defoe back last year, I would have taken it all day long. But you know, good luck to Yedlin.
Yeah. All right. Now, big contract news coming across our desks right before we started recording is the four-year extension of Christian Eriksen. He'll now be on $75,000 a week, which is basically double what he was on previously. How important was it for Tottenham to lock him down long-term?
Oh, hugely important, and important for him as a player as well. As you said, we were chatting immediately before we went on air. I mean, it's still, you sort of always think if somebody signs a long-term deal for double their salary, that the next step is that they leave, because it's essentially just guaranteeing their salary wherever they go. Who knows with Christian? I want, he'd certainly, based on his performances last season, he certainly deserved a contract extension, and he deserved that huge increase. But you know, he hasn't really clicked the first three games of the season, and they obviously scored that lovely goal for Denmark the other night in the World Cup qualifier. But I'm glad that we have him. I'm glad that Poch clearly likes him and wants to build a team around him and the rest of the and the rest of that midfield. So yeah, I mean, it always helps to have a happy player, even though there's always going to be speculation about you know, will he go to Juventus, or will, you know, where will he end up? But we'll see. I'm happy he's with us for now.
Yeah, and I would argue that if you'll recall, with Jan Vertonghen, there was that one year where he was just fuming because he didn't get his move to Barcelona, and then still, as of yet, has yet to really return to that performance level from his first season. I don't want to be too harsh on Eriksen, but I think he may have played his way out of that mega move that everyone always expected from him.
Yeah.
Like remember when he was leaving Ajax, there was talk about him going to Barcelona and starting then.
Right.
Which was 2 or 3 years ago. And we were talking about kind of plateau and development that we saw with Pritchard and Carroll. Obviously, Eriksen at a hilariously much higher level.
Yes.
But has he truly improved in his 3 years with us? I mean, I'd say to an extent, but not enough to garner that kind of move for me, anyway.
That's an interesting approach, actually, and I think there might be something to that. And I think we'll get a clearer idea as the season develops. If he can get back to his best, I mean, we all know what he's capable of, and it's more than just the dead balls. It's more than just the free kicks. His vision when he's turned on, as good as Modric. It really is. The way he sees the pass, the way he can find the pass for you know, Kane or Walker or whoever it is running into the channels, is remarkable. He's a terrific player, and he's still young, of course. Don't forget. So, but yeah, I mean, your speculation about whether or not maybe the big move has passed him by, I don't know. I mean, staying with Spurs is a big move.
Yeah. All right, well, talking about big moves, we've talked about the ins and outs and the Eriksen contract extension. What would you say is the best and worst move that Tottenham made this summer?
good question. The best, well, actually, I think the best move was probably another contract extension. Well, maybe the best move. Getting Wimmer on a contract extension was important, because I think we are vulnerable, the central two, if we get an injury or a long-term suspension to one of the central two. And you saw how crucial it was that Wimmer came in last year and was able to just play seamlessly in Jan's place. And that was because Toby was such a good player to play alongside. I think if I have a misgiving about our depth, then it might be if we have a similar long-term absence of Toby the way we have an absence of Musa at the moment. And I think Toby is one of our key players. But signing Wimmer, I think, was a good move. I'm still disappointed we didn't seem to be in with a shout for Isco. That was you know, we were saying earlier about there was nobody that we signed who could actually walk straight into the first 11, the starting first 11. I think Isco is that player and a sort of world-class player. Sissoko, I think, will turn out to be a good player. I think overall we've strengthened the squad for the campaign that's to come, and that goes from both the Champions League down to the EFL Cup. I mean, it gives Poch a lot more options, and he can bring on some of the younger kids and give them exposure down in the peripheral games as well. So overall, I'm very, very happy with the window.
All right, and worst thing.
Worst thing, 30 million.
Yep. Easy. And do you think that this transfer window has changed where you think Spurs will finish either in the Premier League or the Champions League?
No, not really, because I think our starting first 11 was always going to be pretty strong. And I would expect us to challenge for the top four. Whether we can make that work, I'm not sure, because the other teams obviously around us have strengthened and had very good windows themselves. I mean, obviously Man U, just a remarkable transfer window all told. I mean, it's going to be a more tricky proposition than it was last season, but I have confidence and faith in our starting first 11, and the window hasn't changed my expectation of the year, but it's actually made me a little more excited about seeing how he fits all these pieces together.
Yeah, and I think the very, very interesting thing is when Pochettino was asked about how he was going to fit Jansen and Kane on at the same time, he said that this will challenge him as a manager to learn how to play with other formations. And we've already seen Poch be a very good manager in the Premier League, but he's still very young. And the fact that he recognizes that there are areas he can improve and is willing to do it, I think is one of the most promising things that happened at Tottenham this summer.
Absolutely. And also, when you think about where we are in terms of the tightness of our budget going into the stadium plans, for the next sort of 2 or 3 years, we're not going to be splashing the cash. So you need somebody like Levy to come along and actually do the deals that get us the biggest leverage for the buck.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to plug anything on your way out?
No, I'm good. Thanks, Kevin.
Fine.
It's just good fun talking to you. But no, I mean, I think I'm looking forward to seeing how we do against Stoke at the weekend, and we'll take it from there.
I will plug things for you since you seem hesitant. At New York Spurs on Twitter or NewYorkSpurs.com. Also check out his election show that you can find with By the Minute, I believe you said.
That's correct.
So yeah, do both of those things.
An Irishman and a Scotsman discuss American politics at various levels of nerdliness. So I think if you're interested in Hillary versus Trump for the remaining 64 days of the campaign, give it a listen.
Interested like somebody watching a train wreck. all right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out. And I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thanks, my friend. Be well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.